If you'd like to go ahead and jump to our passage, we'll be going to the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. But before we go there, I got a question. Does anybody know why the third Advent candle is pink? Now, some people would say coral or rose. Like, if you were my wife, you would say, no, it's coral or it's rose color. But it's pink. For those who lived with an 8-crown box that only had the 8 basic Crayola colors, it's pink. You didn't even have a pink when you only had the 8 crowns. I think you had to get the 24-pack to get a pink. But it's pink. It's not coral. Why is the candle pink, though? Does anybody know? Because they ran out of the other colors? That would be a good reason. The reason it's pink is a 1,500-year-old tradition, just as old as Advent itself. Pink is the color the ancient church, the traditional church, represent that they would use to represent joy. And this is the Sunday of Advent, where we celebrate the joy of the Lord, the gift of the Lord that he gave us, and that is why, out of all the other candles, it's pink. Now, this candle also has another traditional name. Does anybody know that other traditional name? It has something to do with Luke 2. It's also known as the shepherd candle, which is why traditionally on the third Sunday of Advent, we would turn to Luke chapter 2, when the angels would come to announce the giving of Jesus to this world, the giving of Jesus to us, this good news of great joy that would be for all humanity. And boy, there is no better news than the coming of Jesus. And there's nothing in this world that could ever quite replace him and replace that wonderful news. We even have a short video to show you just about that.
Check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
Ow.
So, are you waiting until Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
No. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. The dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And?
Say
it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, dulcimo, slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Damn it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here, and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
And I know that I've showed this short clip for the past 3 years during Christmas. And it's back this year by popular demand by many of you. They're saying, am I going to show the missing Jesus video? Because, let's say it a little bit slower together. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last. And that really is the truth. For nothing in all of heaven and earth could ever replace Jesus, and the joy that Jesus brings. Because Jesus brings us a joy that is beyond anything this world can bring us. Just like he brings us a love that serves, a hope that thrives, he brings us a joy that lasts. Joy everlasting. And something we're going to talk about next week, he brings us a hope that surpasses. Jesus brings these gifts to us through his coming, through his sacrifice and resurrection. He brings these to us through the gift of salvation, love, hope, joy, and peace. He brings all these things to us and more. And boy, there's nothing that can replace Jesus, because there's nothing that can bring love that serves. There's nothing that can bring hope that thrives. There's nothing that can bring joy that lasts. And there, more importantly, is nothing that can bring a peace that surpasses. With this being said, as it is the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy, where we lit the pink candle, the joy candle, also known as the shepherd's candle, let's go back to that very first Christmas morning. Let's go back to that time, and I ask as we read through this passage to put yourself there, to put yourself in the field with the shepherds, going about your normal nightly activities, getting the sheep all settled in, getting everything all prepared for the next day. Put yourself there when the host of angels appear. Ask yourself, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? More importantly, ask yourself, what is it that you do? As we turn to Luke chapter 2. Now it says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, so to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. All they had heard and seen, they leave glorifying and praising God. Jesus brings joy. Jesus is truly good news of great joy for who Jesus is. He brings a joy that lasts, because I guarantee those shepherds kept on praising for days. And as they rediscovered, as the disciples rediscovered who Jesus was when Jesus rose from the dead, you better believe there was even more rejoicing. In fact, anywhere where the story, the good news of the gospel went, there was rejoicing. There was also some bickering. Sometimes some moaning, but there was always rejoicing. I think of Acts 8:8 after the apostles take the news of the gospel to a certain city. And what does it say? It says that there is great joy in that city. Joy follows Jesus. And it's no temporary joy. There are a lot of things in this life that bring temporary joy. Joy in terms of happiness, as in pleasure. Because that's what joy is. It's pure happiness. I'm going to do this. I'm afraid to. But what, Lucas? Like cookie joy. A cookie brings you joy. But once you eat the cookie, what do you have left? An empty plate. No cookie. I think about gifts. Why do we give gifts every Christmas? Yes, because he gave us the ultimate gift of God, his love through Christ Jesus. Thank you for your help, kids. God gives us Jesus, and we carry on that tradition of gift-giving. But you know what? People who don't even believe in Jesus give gifts on Christmas. People who don't even believe in Jesus celebrate Christmas. Well, why is that? Well, gifts bring joy. And we want to bring joy, and we understand Christmas to be something. It's a season of joy, which is why I think Walmart's new holiday section is very aptly named the Joy Shop. If you've noticed that this year, they've changed all their signage and everything. It's no longer the holiday store. It is the Joy Shop. And boy, I get joyful and giddy like a little kid every time I go there. And then I get really upset when I see all the prices and all the things I can't buy. But the point being is I get that temporary joy. Gifts bring temporary joy. Could you think back on that one gift that brought you so much joy that you were a five-year-old again? I think about whenever I was five and my beloved mother got me a Nintendo Entertainment System for Christmas. Boy, there was a lot of joy to be had, lots of ducks to be hunted, lots of princesses to try to rescue from castles, because I had Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt, and that was an awesome game, and I had so much fun with it. And then there was another Christmas where I got all the Ghostbusters gear, including a Ghostbuster onesie. I had a proton pack, a proton blaster, I was ready to go, I even had a ghost trap, and I would run all throughout our neighborhood, pretending to catch fake ghosts with my cousins. It was so much fun. And then, a few years later, I got my first Sega Genesis. And I know we have a picture floating around in all of our packed boxes that expresses the joy I had when I found out I got a Sega Genesis. Is that an equivalent expression? Okay, I was pretty close. I was lit up. But you know what? All three of those gifts, I can't tell you where they're at today. Eventually, you hunted enough ducks. You dropped Bowser into lava enough times. Eventually, running around trying to catch fake ghosts just got boring and old. The joy was fleeting. I think the Ghostbusters toys eventually corroded, and I know that the game systems ended up at a place called Funko Land, where you could trade in old stuff to get new stuff. And boy, that was a big mistake I made. But the point is, I don't know where they're at today. The joy they brought me on those Christmas mornings was soon gone. It was a joy that is fleeting. And that's what joy of this world brings us. A joy that is here today and gone the next. Because when we seek joy in stuff, when we seek joy in possessions and in people, what we realize is that we're finite. The stuff that we have in this world, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, as Jesus would say. There is only one who can bring us a joy that lasts. His name is Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. Because though Jesus died, 3 days later he rose again. And he is everlasting. And so the joy of his coming is everlasting. The joy of his coming is the same that it was yesterday, that it will be today, and it will be tomorrow. We can always find joy in Christ. However, so often, I think we find Christ missing. We find the joy missing from our lives. We find an elusive joy that's just right out there, and it's in our grasp. And as we try to grab hold of it, it slips further away. And so often, like our parable at the very beginning of our message, we've tried to replace Jesus with something else. We've tried to replace the joy that Jesus brings with something else in this world. And we realize quickly that that's the kind of joy that doesn't last. Jesus is the only joy that truly lasts. Have you ever lamented like Charlie Brown? If you don't remember, I got a little short video clip I'm going to show.
Must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. Just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who could take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe he's right. Along the Charlie Brown to the world, you're the Charlie Brown.
Have you ever lamented like Charlie Brown? Even during the Christmas season, a season of joy. I mean, this is a joyous season. I mean, Walmart turns half its store into the joy shop. You know, and Hobby Lobby turns its store back in all the way in July into the joy shop. You get Christmas decorations there year round. It is joyous, it's joyful, but have you ever, like Charlie Brown, wondered, man, I just feel depressed. There's really no joy. There's nothing that's lasting right now. It just seems like something is wrong. Why am I this way? Why do I feel this way? There are many reasons why people experience a lack of joy, especially during the holidays. It could be because of a life difficulty, a medical condition. It could be because of the loss of a loved one. In fact, the holidays just bring that loss very prevalent, and it makes it come face to face with us, especially within a short period of time. But as we talked about on Wednesday night, several Wednesdays ago, grief is something that just doesn't slip away eventually. You know, everybody says, with time, it will get better. No, the grief stays with us. The pain of that loss stays with us. And I love what Jeanette Kitterman said that night. It's because we were made for eternal relationships. Jesus made us to be eternal. God created us to be eternal as he is, in his image, in his likeness. And because of sin and death, we've lost eternity. We lost that eternal relationships that we were meant to have with God and with others. And so that is a very great reason where we could experience a lack of joy, especially during the holidays. You may be thinking right now, not only have I lamented like Charlie Brown, I am right here, right now, lamenting like Charlie Brown. Understand. The joy of Jesus coming is still here for you. His joy hasn't gone anywhere, and it's there to grab hold of. And it's a joy that lasts. It's not cookie joy, as Lucas said. You know, you eat the cookie and it's gone. No, Jesus is forever. Jesus is everlasting. And in this, he brings us good news of great joy. A joy that has sustained over 2,000 years now. We think about it. Why is it we're here right now? We are here because of the joy of the Lord. Because someone took time to come to us and give us good news of great joy. Just like the angels did to those shepherds so long ago. And just like those shepherds did as they were at the manger, at the stable. And just as they did as they went throughout the town. Just as the apostles would carry on this good news of great joy. So that we today, here in America, thousands of miles away, thousands of years displaced, would have reason to have joy. In the midst of our heartache, in the midst of our pain, we have reason to find joy. And no matter our circumstances or situations, we can have hope. We can have love. We can have joy that lasts. And as we'll talk about next week, we can have peace that surpasses. Where it comes from, though, is important. It doesn't come from the gifts under our tree. It doesn't come from our Christmas decorations and parties. It doesn't come from the busyness of the season. If anything, a lack of joy could be caused by over-busyness, overcrowding of our schedules during this time and season, bringing us great stress, not great joy. Why is that? It's because we've tried to replace Jesus with a gummy bear. Or an ice cube, and we've made a great mess. And boy, that doll head was creepy. Very, very creepy. What have you tried to replace Jesus with in your life? What is it that you've tried to find joy from in your life other than Christ? For it just doesn't seem, whatever we try, nothing ever seems to be able to last. Nothing ever seems to be able to truly give us that joy that lasts. Nothing can replace Jesus. And this is what Charlie Brown discovers. As the Christmas story of Charlie Brown continues, I love this film. And if you haven't been able to watch it recently, come out Saturday night. We're going to have a wonderful time watching this and learning, just like he does, the true meaning of Christmas.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
There is the secret to finding joy when it feels so elusive to grab. To finding a joy that lasts, a joy that is everlasting. It is found in Christ. And that's also found in each other. As Christmas is a time where Jesus brings people together. He brings us together to share in this good news with one another of great joy. Sometimes all we need to do is find ourselves a Linus who's willing to remind us, who's willing to show us, who's willing to just speak plainly to us that Christ our Lord is born, that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And for this, we can have great joy, for his coming had purpose. His coming had a reason. There was a purpose behind it all, that God would redeem us. That where we were once enemies of God, we would no longer be, but we would become children of God. his sons and daughters, his beloved sons and daughters, and he would redeem us from the shackles and chains of sin and death once and for all. That's good news of great joy. And if you have that good news, if you have that great joy, who's God calling you to be Linus to? Because that is our role, church. That's our mission, church, to know Christ and to make him known. Who is it that God is sending you to this day to share that good news of great joy? Who is it that God's sending you to this day, this Christmas, to let them know Christ the Lord is born? That there is good news in the midst of the sorrow. There is good news in the midst of the pain. Christ our Lord is born. Joy to the world. Joy, joy to the world. If you find the joy that lasts elusive and hard to grab, know it is right there in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is found in remembering who he is. Surround yourself with people who will help remind you of that this season. But more so, as God instills that joy in your heart, don't just hold it for yourselves. Share that joy. Allow that joy to exude out for you, just like it did to the shepherds, just like it did to the apostles, just like it has done for every disciple of Christ for the past 2,000 years, carrying on traditions that where we started lighting a pink candle. Not because there's anything significant with a pink candle, but just because it was the color 1,500 years ago that we decided was a good color for joy. Whatever it may be, continue sharing the joy of Christ. And in this, you too will find joy. Joy that lasts. This is the word of the Lord. And the grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. I'd like to invite our worship team up for a time of response and reflection, where we can truly reflect on the joy that Jesus brings, singing a song that, you know, I didn't really like too much until I started thinking of it in the context of the joy Jesus brings. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Because of course Mary knew. The angel told her. But did she? Did she fully grasp and understand when that first angelic messenger came to her the fullness of who Jesus was, the fullness of what Jesus was going to do, the things that Jesus still does to this day for me and you? Did she fully grasp it? But more importantly, do we? Do we grasp the fullness of this good news of great joy that has truly been bestowed upon us?